Father, we are thankful to you. Thank you that we are blessed with your presence. We are thankful to you, Holy Spirit, that you are with everyone here personally, in our spirit. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, forgive us if we were in any way inattentive to your calling or your instruction. Holy Spirit, we need your guidance. We need your instruction. We need your light and we need your strength. And we ask you, help each one of us today to correctly understand and correctly accept everything that we talk about today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, direct our thoughts, formulate our words, and create in us the desire and action, and don't let us lean to the right or to the left. Instruct us and put us onto every truth and illuminate the eyes of our heart. And we are thankful to you, Holy Spirit, that right now you are directing each of us personally, like rivers of flowing waters, making us capable to correctly understand and correctly accept everything that we talk about today. And we believe, Father, and on the basis of 1 Corinthians, we believe that we already have the mind of Christ, an anointed mind. And releasing our faith, right now, we all put our hand on our head and accept the anointing of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Right now, rises up in each of us personally, anointing us and making us capable to understand and accept immeasurably more than we ask, immeasurably more than we imagine. And we accept that right now, godly abilities and godly opportunities anointed us in giving direction to our thoughts, words, and actions like rivers of flowing waters. We accept that right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is ripped apart every binding of curse of Satan. And the blind souls, in the name of Jesus, right now receive their sight. The tortured, right now, in the name of Jesus, receive their freedom. We accept that a great light is shining in each of us, right now. Thank you, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that right now is ripped apart every binding of ignorance and misunderstanding. We take authority over every lying spirit, every orphan spirit. We take authority over spirit of fear, sickness, weakness, and order them out of this place right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, direct, lead each of us like rivers of flowing waters. We are thankful to you, Jesus, for your heavenly service on this place by the Holy Spirit and power. Thank you that you are directing each of us personally in your strength, in your abilities, and in your opportunities. And we accept everything that you paid for on the cross for each of us personally. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that we will never, never remain the same. But every second, every minute of this lesson, be a transition onto new levels, into new opportunities, into new abilities. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you preside in this place. We accept all that Jesus paid for on the cross for each of us personally. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for the anointing. Part 1, Lesson 3. Lesson called, And So in Everything, by Oleg Grimes, translated by Irina Narivanchik. I want to put in a foundation. Every person here is a spiritual creation in the flesh. The wisdom of God says, is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Why? Because if the body dies, the person remains alive, because man is an eternal spirit. The person, or man, is a spirit. And in Genesis, God says, man is spirit. God created man, put in him the potential, the abilities, the opportunities, everything that is needed for life, all of which he placed in the spirit, then placed the spirit into a body. Everything that happens, every event that happens is a harvest. It's viewed as a harvest or fact of some previously sown seed. Wisdom of God says through the words of Jesus, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed. According to the word of God, every word of man is a seed in the spiritual world, and this seed reveals itself as fact in the physical world. As Jesus says, for every word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Word, or seed in the spiritual, creates fact or event in the physical. Therefore, dimension of facts or physical dimension, according to the word, is the dimension in which you receive your harvest. And the wisdom of God teaches us not to live by facts or by what has already happened. And Satan, as a spiritual being, perfectly understands that whoever knows how the spiritual world works, whoever knows how to formulate everything in the spiritual world, really is the Lord in the factual or the physical world. The physical world, the visible world, I remind you again, is a world of facts, or harvest. Therefore, it is vital for you to know how to work in the spiritual world to formulate the desired facts. Animals live by that they have no choice, and the choice that they do have, they don't know how to control. Animals can't choose which seed, how much, and where to sow it. They live by what they have. That's why the wisdom of God says that man without God, or man without wisdom of God, is an animal, or lives by the five senses: hear, see, touch, smell, and taste. Sometimes people say, "Oh, but what could have I done? I couldn't have done anything. Nobody could see it coming." And this is how people live. A storm comes. "Oh, but what could have I done?" Rain comes. "Oh, but what could have I done?" You could have done. Spiritual creation man has authority over storms too, over disasters of this world too. It's another thing that people, as spiritual creations, haven't learned how to use that over which they have authority. But through the wisdom of God, through the Word of God, all of this becomes accessible to you. I will emphasize this again. Man is a spiritual creation, and his world, or dimension of success, is the spirit world, or dimension. As an example, the world, or dimension of success for a fish, is water. And any attempt to realize success outside of that dimension, on land, always ends sadly. Man is a spiritual creation, and any attempt to realize success outside the spiritual dimension, or circumventing the spiritual dimension by attempts to realize success in the physical world, always ends with man losing, whether he wants to or not. That's just how the spirit world works. Godly wisdom says in Proverbs 28:26, "Those who trust in themselves, or how and what he understands, how he thinks, how he imagines." It really is amazing, being that a man is not an independent creation. He is always under some authority. You cannot be independent. Even though people say, "I think," or "my opinion is," or "my views are," no. Man is either under authority of unclean spirit or under authority of Holy Spirit. No one is independent. Man is not an independent creation. Man, as an individual, has the right of choice, the choice of which authority to be under. Therefore, as an individual, you have a choice. You are either under authority of the Holy Spirit and give yourself over to the authority of the Holy Spirit, or you are under authority of an unclean spirit and give yourself over to the authority of the unclean spirit. But through your flesh, in the physical, we will all see your invisible master in the thoughts, in words, in actions. Jesus said, "By their fruit, you will recognize them." What I've already told you, it's understood that whoever relies on themselves, and in actuality, he doesn't rely on himself, but on how and what he has and what he was taught by his master, is a fool. Simple definition. But those who walk in wisdom, or in how and what God acts and or does, and in his understanding and direction, are kept safe. In the world right now, there exists two types of wisdom: earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom that is mentioned in the book of James, author of which is Satan, or Lucifer, a fallen spirit. So this earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom always connects with the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death is a curse, or always brings curse and death. Wisdom of God at the moment, and always will have, a place on earth. Godly wisdom, according to Proverbs 3:17, says, "Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace." Wisdom of God always connects with the Spirit of God, specifically with the law of Spirit of life, fruit of which is blessings. So for today, you, as a spiritual creation, have the right of choice in which wisdom to live in. Scripture does point out sharply and without compromise that, in Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. None. You'll say, "Oh, but Brother Oleg, you just said that there is also worldly wisdom." For man, as a spiritual creation, that choice is death. Therefore, for man, as a spiritual creation, There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that is not from the Lord. None. But at the moment, there are two paths, wisdom of the world and wisdom of God. And it says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way, or methods, rules, ideas, variants, that seem right to a man, or results oriented and effective. But its end is the way of death. So don't ever, ever experiment. That is incorrect. I like the following proverb, Proverbs 27:12. The prudent see danger. In the Russian, the word prudent is actually blagorazumny, which means a mind that is good or is a blessing to its owner. Did you know that there are minds that are a detriment or harmful to their owners? For example, previously I lived with a mind that was damaging to me. I was able to live a well-behaved life, at most a few days. Then I would say or do something. I would try and do and say everything right, but my mind was a detriment, or everything that my mind contained, all the knowledge that came from earthly, sensual, and demonic wisdom. I would try very hard. There was even a moment when I decided to completely clean up my life. I know my parents prayed for me, mother prayed for me, but I didn't know how to clean up my life because those religious methods that I knew, I didn't even last a month, just 15 days. 15 days, and I again did something foolish. I tried again and again foolishness. And I understood that this was impossible. But I didn't know how to do this. And the methods that I was choosing more accurately resembled masochism. And why? Because the mind that I had was detrimental to me. In other words, everything that my mind contained was always working against me. Everything. Absolutely all information. And I was constantly trying with this store of information to make something good. This was impossible. That's why in one scripture, Apostle Paul says, I beg you, brothers, renew your minds. And this is a very important instruction. And so, the prudent see danger, or blessed minds see danger. The ones with the blessed mind or a good mind, by the way, they were not born with such a mind. He worked on himself and his mind was transformed into a blessing. He renewed his mind, replaced the bad information with the good, and his mind became a blessing. And so, with what did this person renew his mind? With the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Because there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that is not from the Lord. And I would like to tell you that this was not easy for him. I will show you later on. The prudent see danger, or blessed minds see danger and take refuge. He doesn't play chicken or play hero. He sees danger and takes refuge. But the simple, or those who didn't put in effort, didn't renew their mind, didn't learn from the wisdom of God, keep going and suffer for it. And you know what they will say? Oh, this is God teaching me. This is a very familiar phrase, no? Very familiar phrase. Okay, so I put in a foundation, now on to the lesson. Proverbs 11:24. It is written, one person gives freely or generously. How? Generously, yet gains even more. Another withholds above measure, or, you know, saves is economical, but comes to poverty. In this proverb, we see two people. One made a decision to be generous. The other made a decision to withhold. And it uses the term above measure, which basically means stingy. So the other made a decision to be stingy, or we will say softer, economical. So one made a decision to be generous, the other made a decision to be stingy. Tell me, did anyone force them to make these decisions? Anyone force them in any way? Nope, nobody. No one forced them. This was their choice. Do you know what the decisions are in the light of Proverbs 6:2? It is written, you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. Decisions, according to this scripture, are snares, bindings, yokes. What is a yoke? A yoke is a dictator. And in the moment that you make a decision, no matter if that decision was foolish, wise, no matter, but you made a decision and spoke that decision with your mouth, from that moment, you start to talk, think, and act in accordance to that decision. So if you said, I never want to see you, this is a decision. Or if you said, I will never talk to you again, this is a decision. So this is why if you say, oh, I will be the most generous, from this moment, you think, speak, and act in accordance with this decision, even if it has already been forgotten. This is the snares or bindings that formulate the direction of your thoughts, words, and action. And so, we have these two people. One made a decision to be generous. The other made a decision to be stingy. And when the one made a decision to be generous, from that moment, his thoughts, his words, and his actions began to be formulated in accordance to his decision. Decision. Which decision? To be generous. The other made a decision to be stingy, and from that moment, his thoughts, his words, and his actions began to be formulated in accordance to his decision. Decision. Which decision? Stingy. And so, these two people started to live. These decisions began to affect every aspect of their life. Spiritual, soul, physical, financial, and social. Every aspect of their life began to reflect their privately made decision. And this is very interesting. What is generosity and stinginess in light of godly wisdom? Generosity and stinginess don't apply only to finances. You can be generous or stingy in love. You know about that. You can be generous or stingy in smiles. You can smile at everyone or always be serious. You can be generous or stingy in hugs, generous or stingy in welcoming guests. You can be generous or stingy in everything. In any direction or path or area or dimension of a person's life, you can be generous or stingy, not just finances. So generosity or stinginess is the soul position of a person, path of his behavior and thoughts. This is why being generous or being stingy applies to every aspect of the soul position of a person. You may say, oh, but Brother Oleg, I cannot be generous at the moment. I don't have anything to be generous in. You know, this lesson isn't directed at what you have. This lesson is directed at where everything comes from, so that later on you will have in what to be generous. Brother Oleg, when I get some money, I will for sure be generous. Well, how about smiles? Oh, I am this kind of person. You must accept me as I am. Oh, don't you want people to smile at you? Well, now that you mention it, yeah, why don't they smile at me? So this is an example of how behaviors are formulated. So we're not talking about what you can have in your pocket. We are talking about how it is released and where it comes from. And so, opportunity. What is opportunity? Opportunity is fact in the physical world. Today, we will be talking about truth. That is the foundation and is the seed of desired fact. For example, being generous. Have you heard this in the law of sowing and reaping? Well, of course you've heard. Tell me, who is responsible or answers for the harvest in this law? God. God himself is the guarantor of this harvest. If God is the guarantor of this harvest, then if you do all the steps correctly, does your harvest depend on economics or politics? Of course not, if you do everything correctly. So harvest is the other end of sowing, which we will be talking about today. So these two people, one made a decision to be generous, the other made a decision to be stingy. Let's take a look at where opportunities come from. These are the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:12. Jesus said, "Sow in everything how you want men to do to you, you do to them also, for in this is the law and the prophets." And how we already talked about, generosity and stinginess is a soul position. In this verse, it says, "Sow in everything," or in every aspect of a person's life, spiritual, soul, physical, financial, social, every aspect. And so in everything. In what? In everything. And so in everything how you want, how who wants? You. We is such a non-definitive word. Who dug? Oh, we, the excavator in me. What is we? We. I, it's me, I. Learn to talk with an I or a me. Who's responsible? We. Who do I give the money to? Me. Uh-huh. Grab onto the I and get rid of this we in this case. It's how I want. How I want. Stop right here and think about it a little bit. Pleasant turn of thoughts, yes? Oh, can I get a piece of paper and maybe a comfortable couch? Well, which of course, it's how I want, after all, how I want. And there goes a long list of how I want. It is a very important list, how I want, how you want, how I want. Okay, we're hooked. We've all already begun to mentally make this list. Now let's all together say out loud, how I want. This is how I want. Okay, let's go further. So, in everything, how you want men to do to you? In the beginning, we discussed in what? In everything. In joy, in love, finances, in all five aspects of life. In every aspect. In everything. So, in everything. In all five aspects, in all directions, in joy, in love, in hugs, in welcoming, in gifts. Everything. So let's all together say out loud, how I want,
how I want.
I choose the direction in everything. Okay, so we have these two men. The one made a decision to be generous, and on the basis of scripture, on the basis of what Jesus said, he released the spirit of generosity towards himself. It's how I want. And how do you think everyone will treat him? With generosity. And the other one made a decision to be stingy, or to save, or to be economical. What did he do? On the basis of what Jesus said, where he said, so in everything, how you want men to do to you. He released the spirit of stinginess in everyone. And how will everyone treat him? With stinginess. And perhaps he doesn't even suspect, and doesn't even know. But I'm reading to you spiritual laws, how the spirit world works. Let's all together say out loud, So in everything.
How I want.
It is my choice to formulate their choice. How I want. Please understand correctly, this is not a manipulation. This is formulation of harvest in the light of God's wisdom. So let's keep reading. So in everything, how you want men to do to you, you do to them also. Oh, Brother Oleg, why did you finish so badly? It started so well, how I want, and now you do to them also. Okay. Let's all together clearly say out loud for ourselves, my choice.
How I want.
In regards to them. Formulated their choice. In regards to me. Creation man is not an independent creation. He is always 100% under authority of spiritual laws. God said through Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2:24-26, people can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. And so, what I do or don't do in regards to other people directly affects me, either from their previous actions or their absence of actions, like it says in Galatians 6:7. People reap what they sow, or from their prayers to God, as it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Philippians 2:13. Man is 100% under authority of spiritual laws, so everything a person does or does not do is directly tied into these two directions that I just explained. Let's take a look at this demonstrated in one of the Proverbs. Luke 15:11-16. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Squandered meaning used or directed or spent his wealth unwisely. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole land, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Okay, why did no one give him anything? Oh, you will say because the citizen was stingy. Well, towards this young man, yes, but towards the pigs, no. The pigs were well fed. Notice, to him no one would give him anything, even though we know that a worker is worthy of his food. But no one gave him anything. To understand why no one gave him anything, we need to go back to the words, and so, in everything. Let's return to verse 13. Squandered his wealth or used it unwisely. See? He didn't give anyone anything, and later, even when he was working with his own hands, no one gave him anything. Tell me, is the owner of pigs at fault here? No. Who formulated this attitude? The owner of the pigs or he himself? He himself, of course. The owner of the pigs is not an independent creation. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of flowing water, he turns it wherever he wishes. So, the attitude of the owner of the pigs to this young man was formulated by the young man himself. Maybe someone is now thinking about the attitude of their bosses, but I didn't make this up. This is from scripture. Now let's all together clearly say out loud for ourselves, my choice.
My choice.
How I want in regards to them.
How I want in regards to them.
Formulated their choice.
Formulated their choice.
In regards to me.
In regards to me.
Let's take a look at another example. Acts 10, 1-6. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Do you know that this person was not in a covenant with God? He was a Gentile. He didn't have any kind of relation to God. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Or stood as a memorial before God. I know that some religious people say that money doesn't have any effect on the spiritual. And of course, money is not spiritual. But money plays an important role in the spiritual world. Money has its mission or its own assignment. So money, as seed in the spiritual world, plays its own role. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Essentially, they came up before God and were talking to God about Cornelius. Cornelius prayed, but it was the gifts to the poor that were talking. Glory be to God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you the words which will save you and all your house. Okay. It says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So what was Cornelius doing? Cornelius was sowing seed. Cornelius wasn't looking for relations. He was formulating them. Notice, he didn't even tell any of the Jews what he was doing. He simply did it. And God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God, who was not in a covenant with him, told him, send men to Joppa and bring back a man. He will tell you the words which will save you and all your house. Even though he was a Gentile. Why? Because he was doing certain actions in regards to the people of God. He was caring about God's, and God took care of Cornelius. And so in everything, how you want. He took care of God's, and God took care of him. He was caring for God's children, and God said, you and all your house will be saved. So who formulates? Of course, us. We formulate. Now let's all together say again. So in everything.
So in everything.
How I want.
How I want.
How I want.
The choice is mine.
What I choose,
they will choose
in regards to me,
in everything.
In
everything.
Get a hold of this. Sow in everything how you want. These are the words of Jesus. In light of what I've told you, I will tell you the strategy of how to formulate your daily life in light of godly wisdom. Every day, not depending on if someone knows, sees this, or understands. There are some things that are good, things that are correct, and things that you want. So let's do the things that are correct. Tell me, how many times a week would you want to be blessed? Let's say, financially. This way will be simpler to understand and simpler to move. How many times a week? Every day? Well, everyone to the measure of their faith. Humbly, every day. Brother Oleg, every day. Every other Brother Oleg. And if I were at the table, we would affirm this with some sustenance. So we have decided. 7 times a week. Now let's connect this with godly wisdom and the words of Jesus. So in everything, how you want, we have decided 7 times a week, how you want men to do to you, you do to them also. In other words, when you decided what you are expecting from others, 7 times or however often, you found out that what you need to begin doing in regards to them. And how often, oh, well, why did you finish this way? After all, we want how we want, not, you know. When you said, I want 7 times, you found out, in fact, what you need to do. What decision do you need that you need to make? In light of those 2 people that we discussed earlier, you need to make a decision to bless others. How often do you need to bless them? Every day. 7 times a week. Imagine, you found out your decision. Humble, of course, but according to what you want. Nobody was pulling you by the tongue, after all. One sister decided every hour, without question. We honor her decision. How many times a week do we want to be blessed? 7 times. With this decision, what did we find out? How many times? Who needs to bless? We. Again, this we. The question here is to bless. Therefore, we. If to receive, then it's I. And to give, then we. See how quickly and efficiently we assign responsibilities? Yes, but this is how we were taught. I receive payment, and we work. And that's how we worked. What do you think? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you didn't get this as a revelation. We dealt with the first question. Complicated question. The next question is even better. With what amounts do you want to be blessed with every day? Hoppa, Brother Oleg, let's make a list. With what amounts? Be brave. Okay, I understand that everybody's needs are fulfilled and you don't have any wants. With what amounts? Come up with an amount. We will take, for this example, we'll take $1. If I say $100, then your thoughts will leave this room. Then it will be complicated for me to get you back here. You know, realistically, brother, pricing out the situation. Okay, we have decided. $1. In the first example, we connected this with the wisdom of God and with the words of Jesus. Now let's connect. So in everything, how you want men to do to you, you do to them also. And here we will also add the words of Jesus. Jesus said, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. So when you decided $1, you decided on the desired amount for every day from them. $1. Also, you decided on not only how much from them, but also from you. The $1 in actuality, who has to give? I. Because here we wanted to say we. No, it's I. When you decided how much to be blessed with, you, in actuality, decided in what amount you were going to give. First of all, I am telling you the ways of the wisdom of God. If you won't just listen to this, but start to implement this, then you will see places in Scripture that you read in Deuteronomy, and you will lend to many nations. You will find out how these Scriptures actually work, and not just read about them in the Scripture. Don't let what we just talked about scare you off. Every day, $1. Maybe this scared someone, or upset someone, or something else. Or maybe somebody thought, Oh, this is unrealistic. You know, there are a lot of things prior to God which we considered unrealistic. And now, in God, we still think a lot of things are unrealistic. When we turn on the top half of our body, anyway. Therefore, don't let this plan scare you. This plan is not for you. What we talked about just now, that's not for you. What are you talking about? Who is it for? It's for your faith. For your faith. It's written, the righteous will live by what? By faith. Therefore, we just set out a plan of action for your faith. Faith, according to Scripture, is a servant, and it is necessary to give it tasks. Luke 17:5-9 says, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith, or use faith, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to that servant when he comes in from the field, come along now, sit down and eat. Won't he rather say, prepare my supper? Notice the use of faith. Get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. And after that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because what he did? Because he did what he was told to do? I don't think so. Faith without works is useless. Therefore, there are things which need to be done. So when we decided every day by $1, now you have a plan. Every day by $1. When you decided every day by $1, you decided for yourself, for your faith. Now I will tell you step by step for a plan for every day. Imagine a week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so here's Monday. And so in everything. You will say, Brother Oleg, what to do? Well, first of all, for Monday, number one, you will need to have an envelope. Prepare an envelope to be able to sew into every day. You won't be able to run every day to some service or church function, and you need to sew every day in your prayer room. So first of all, you will need an envelope. So prepare an envelope for daily sewing. Number two, by how much? By however much you decide. 2 Corinthians 9:7-11 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Notice that here it does not say how often or how much. Why? Because we make the decision for every day. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly. When? It's not written how often. It's not written once a month or bi-weekly. So when is God able to bless you abundantly? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day. So why isn't he blessing me every day? Why? Because you didn't want that yourself. You said, I get paid once a month. You said this? Yes, you said it. So why are you getting upset? God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Listen carefully here to this scripture. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, to whom seed is given? To whom is seed given? To the sower. So to whom is seed given? In other words, if a person sows, he is given more seed. If he doesn't sow, but stashes it in his pocket, then to whom is seed given? To the sower. Reading further. And bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. To what will you receive increase? And to whom is seed given? God gives seed. He sows, God gives seed. He sows, God gives seed. He sows, God gives seed, and God gives increase to the harvest. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So that in everything you would be rich, and for every generosity that produces through us, thanksgiving to God. And now listen carefully, step by step. So God gives seed to the sower. In Scripture it says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Okay, here is your envelope, Monday. You made You made the decision. So you say, Lord, I make the decision in the name of Jesus that I will sow every day, and will sow every day, stretching my faith to sow by $1. I accept my heavenly provision for every day. Your decision connects you with the heavens. The tongue has the power. Proverbs says that the tongue has the power of life and death. A different scripture says, truly, I tell you, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So help yourself. Whatever you bind on earth, oh, I'm going to work, get at least a few dollars in my pocket, will be bound in heaven. So you get minimum wage, oh, blessing upon blessing. You were only expecting a few dollars, but got a few hundred. And so, an envelope to sow every day into. Monday. Lord, okay, we will sow. You go into your pocket and, you know, here's some music. You know what I mean? Change. I remember when I was recognized by the noise I made. Right away. Oh, that's Brother Oleg coming this way. Oh, how do you know? You must have the gift of knowledge. Oh, no, he walks loudly, like a bell. Now the bell is silent. Glory to God for the anointing. So go into your pocket and take out the change. Don't let this upset you. Scripture says, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. I have set out a plan for my faith, so $1 a day. And now, to your servant, faith, you have given the first seed that God gave you to sow. 15 cents or 20 cents. Don't let that upset you. This is the first step. To what? Too much or too many. Faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Glory be to God. So you bless this seed, anoint it, and say this scripture over it. God, who has given me seed, will give me an abundant harvest. Let there be a hundredfold harvest. And into the envelope. And now in heaven it is recorded that this day you have sown seed. Next day, Tuesday, envelope, again into your pocket. Position is still the same. Little, but there is something. 5 nickel, maybe. You will say, oh, Brother Oleg, what do we bother with a nickel for? I'm telling you serious things, and please, let there be more serious amounts with you. But I am describing this so you don't have to worry if you don't have much. If you only have change, I'm describing from few to much. So you take this nickel, give God praise, bless it, anoint it, proclaim a hundredfold harvest over it, and into the envelope. Wednesday. You see, you are starting up or putting into motion a serious mechanism. Into your pocket, and a quarter, breakthrough. You bless it, anoint it, release a hundredfold harvest on it, and into the envelope. Next day, into your pocket, and nothing. Oh, Brother Oleg, how do you mean nothing? Oh, don't worry, the day isn't over yet. The whole day is still in front of you. You find $1 outside. Yes, there's contact. You pray over it and into the envelope. Next day, Friday already, into your pocket and 50 cents into the envelope. Saturday, pocket, envelope. Sunday, service on Sunday, and there too I need to sow. There as well I need to sow. So you need to sow there as well. And you will say, and now what do I do with this envelope? Well, you have been sowing into the anointing of Jesus. Jesus is the owner of this seed. In other words, of this envelope and everything it contains. When you are sowing, perhaps on Thursday, he will tell you to take this envelope there and leave it there. Or maybe he told you Tuesday. Or maybe he told you Saturday. Maybe he told you Sunday. Take this envelope and give it there. In other words, in God's eyes and in God's hands, you are becoming a person that he can multiply through and provide someone, either one of his children or one of his servants. You are becoming a tube or a channel through which God can send provision to where he needs it. But so your channel through which the provision will flow, so that your channel grows or widens, you start from few and grow from there. This is a process. This is work. So Sunday passes, and on Sunday you sowed $1.50 into this envelope. And it's Monday again. Okay, Brother Oleg, got it. And you will say, and how long do I keep on doing this? Till the coming of Christ. So don't worry. And you keep filling the envelope until he says where to take it. Then new envelope until he tells you where to take it. Then new envelope until he says where to take it. until he says where to take it, until he says where to take it. He will tell you. And this is actually a serious point, because one sister came to me upset and said, "Oh, it's been 2 weeks already. He hasn't told me anything yet." Well, don't get upset. He will tell you. He will. The most important thing is that you already know what you're sowing into. You're sowing into the anointing of Jesus. And that is sufficient. Your tally is filling up. When he tells you, then give it. And I'm sharing this because I was taught this a long time ago. And when I was taught this, I started from change. Zing, zing. Zing, zing. And the envelope was heavy. You understand. In other words, this envelope, when I took it in my hands, had more weight than content. Weight is one thing. It does not correlate to the actual value sometimes. But that's the plan I set out for my faith, $50 a month. For me, this was grace upon grace. And I set out this plan for my faith that was in me, faith of God. Have the faith of God. And I sowed day in and day out, and I didn't miss a single day. I sowed, 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 and this was a very long time ago, about 5 years now, perhaps more. And I sowed and sowed, and the day came when I was sowing $2 a day, and it wasn't a stretch for me, or didn't present any difficulty. Scripture says, "The strong does everything willingly." I always found $2. Half a year passes, and I always found five. And you know, I passed the plan of $50 a month, and I didn't even notice. Perhaps a year passed, perhaps two, but I didn't even notice. Today I sow more in a day than I originally started sowing per month. You will say, "But Brother Oleg, how much do you make?" That's not the question here. I'm telling you how to make a plan for your faith and let the faith of God work for you like a servant. Every day, not depending on politics or economy, but from your obedience, from your seed. God giving seed to the sower. He gave you, you sowed. Gives abundance to what? To the sown. He again gives you seed. He again gives seed to who? To the sower. Then gives an abundant harvest to what? To the sown. Then gives seed to the sower. Abundant harvest to the sown. And the cup fills up. Cup fills. Cup fills. Cup fills. Overflows. You keep going. You raise the plan. First $50 a month, then up, 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 and you pass a barrier. Right now, I sow more than $50 a day. I will not tell you how much. I don't want to upset you. But understand, I didn't raise the plan on my own. God raises the plan. He tells me, now more. And now, not just one envelope, but here, and here, and here. So in everything how you want men to do to you, you do to them also. Jesus said, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more." For example, you're walking along a market. There's a old lady sitting there. You say, "How much are the apples?" She says, $5. "Oh, Grandma, a little. Too much. Three." She's like, "Oh, but you know, Sonny, it's five. But we are at the market. You definitely have to bargain or haggle for stuff." "Oh, three. $3.50. Okay, four. So you agree on four. So you take the apples for four and you go. But now let's look at this. And so in everything, how you want, how do you think? And you'll come to work and you'll get a hundredfold return for how you behaved at the market. 100-fold return. This is a spiritual world. And nothing happens just because. I know the people that bargain all the time at the market, but that's the worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom states that's what you do. That's what they always do. That's what they were taught. They bargain actually everywhere where they're able to. Everywhere. It's just a mechanical reflex. But you know what? Everybody bargains with them as well. Everyone breaks their price as well. You know how they call all the people that do this to them? They call them cheap or stingy. But they don't call themselves that. I'm just attempting to show you how these things that you don't notice, how they reflect in your life. So sometimes you could sow, and then go to the market and just kill all of the green shoots that you planted that are growing in your life. Because this law works. So you go on Tuesday and you sow again. And then you're walking down the road and you meet somebody and they're selling something and you can't help yourself, but you just bargain, haggle. You just can't seem to help yourself. You just bargain. So you see this grandma sitting at the market, and I'm talking about a good bag of apples. She worked for those apples. I'm not talking about where it's the product is bad. And she says, $5. Give her $6. And you will say, oh, but she won't understand me correctly. Well, that's okay. Who cares? Your part in this is to do this correctly. This is very important. Of course, I'm not talking about those places where they inflate the price. Like, for example, you go to Turkey. Oh, how much is this shirt? It's $1,000. Of course, I'm not talking about those instances. Be wise. Be wise. I'm talking about those people where you see and it's a reasonable price, and you see that it is a reasonable price, you will say, oh, but these people, that's just their, you know, that's just their business. They buy and sell, and they buy for a lot less. Who cares? This is a service that they're providing for you. I'm just trying to explain how to preserve your anointing and not to give into this trap. This is another example. One sister came up to me and goes, Brother Oleg, God blessed me so well, so nicely. And so I got on this shuttle. I'm looking at the controller who collects the money, and he's just looking at me and I'm looking at him, but he's not approaching me. And I'm thinking, okay, he doesn't approach me? I'm not going to approach him. So I just got out and just said, thank you, God. And I said, oh, wait. So you want to say that God blessed you because you rode for free on the bus or public transport? And she said, oh, yes. I said, oh, just wait, stop. Who is providing you the service? The person who collects the money or the shuttle company? Of course, the shuttle company. The controller is just a worker. And in this case, he was a lax worker. So in actuality, you didn't steal from the controller. You stole from the transport company. So how much was that? $1.70? Now multiply that by 100 or 100-fold. And now you will have 100-fold harvest, and Satan will make sure that you reap that. Very familiar picture. You get something for free, and instantly, oh, bless you, Lord. If you like to do this, please, go ahead. You have free choice. I don't want to say that you have no choice. Please, I just want to describe how Satan sometimes catches you so that you don't receive your harvest. I'm trying to describe how to come out onto such a level so that you will get a blessing every day, so that you will be a blessing to people rather than a curse. And I just want to bring another example. For example, you made a decision to do everything we talked about today, every day. You made a decision to be a blessing for every person that you meet. You made a decision to be a person of abundance. So now, you'll have to control yourself so that in absolutely no way or in absolutely no area you would let orphan spirit into your life. Holy Spirit came into your life. You're not an orphan. Orphan spirit comes when we take our eyes off God, off Father, and turn our eyes onto what can people give us. You know, sometimes people will come up beside you and start praying. Loudly praying about their needs. Loudly praying. Perhaps nobody heard me. Maybe even louder. But be wise in this. Listen to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit within you. Now I want to focus on a divided mind. If you believe that God gives seed to the sower, if you believe that God is an abundant God and will give abundance to everything that's sown, an abundant harvest, and you believe that He can bless you with every good and wonderful thing, then don't under any circumstances let any other thought come in. A person with a divided mind is not firm in all his ways. And above that it says, a person with a divided mind cannot think to receive anything from God. And James 1st, 7th, 8th, 7th and 8th verse. So every day that you sow, bless your seed, and pray over it. God, you are my shepherd. You lead me beside still waters. God, you are abundant to bless every seed. You are powerful to give me a good harvest. So you sow, you water, you sow, you water, water, you water, water. And so you water, water. And in the meantime, you search for things where to get it cheaper. Where to get it cheaper. And once you start looking for where to get it cheaper, and be wise in this, take this correctly, your faith just goes down. I'm talking about goal-oriented search for cheapest items out there. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a good deal or anything like that. This is a goal-oriented theft of you, theft of anointing, theft of faith. And they are directed at Christians. So we were at a church once, and we were all praying so that all needs be covered, all the needs be covered. And after a prayer, person comes up to the front and says, "You know, now that we all prayed, oh glory be to God, I have one suggestion. I have, for a very low price, I can sell to you what you've been praying about. I can sell to everybody who needs at a big discount." Everybody instantly runs to the front who needed this item. We just prayed. And right after the prayer, Satan came and theft started. Oh, our God is rich and abundant. With a discount? I just want to demonstrate how theft occurs. Satan came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And these types of people always remain on one level. They don't grow. He throws out a lure and reels them in. There's also the other extreme. Some people, anyway. I was once preaching in a church where the pastor had 3 secondhand stores. I was preaching, and I got to this part, secondhand items. Oh, I was caught. I didn't know he had secondhand stores. Oh, I got in trouble for that. And it was a good thing that I didn't know, because in this case, I was very open about this question. And after the service, I was taken to the side and given a good talking to. Reading from Deuteronomy 28, the blessings. He's listing all the blessings. And then at the end of all those blessings, in one of the verses, it says, "And you will throw out all the old things and replace them with new." It doesn't say you'll get them in a secondhand store somewhere. Replace them with new. Okay, I'm just going to balance this out. There really is people that really need to get to dress in something. I'm not talking about extremes. I'm not talking about those people that we need to help. I'm talking about those people who are already sowing seeds of faith every day, standing in faith that God will reward their faith with abundance and do this. I'm talking about them. I'm trying to sort out the spirit of neediness, the spirit of lack, orphan spirit. When you sow, you are putting this not in front of yourself, or you're not putting this goal in front of yourself. You are setting out goal for your faith. You're giving your faith a task that it needs to complete, a task to work on. Because remember, faith is a servant, and it is very important to give it tasks. Faith without works is dead. So to grow faith, you need to give it tasks. We will finish in prayer.